821 Prince News today. They're giving tours of Paisley Park, a place that I spent some time in the early 90s. If you make it to Minneapolis, apparently public tours are going to begin. Of course, Prince died of an opioid overdose. And Senator Durbin's here with some news on the scourge of opioids today. This could get a little deep in the weeds, but what are you doing or what are you getting accomplished?
Here's what people don't realize, and that is that the federal government approves the production of opioid pills.
Okay.
We, through the, of all places, Drug Enforcement Administration, when pharma, the companies, come to us, they have to get permission for how many they will produce. Well, it's completely out of control. Pharma now produces enough opioid pills, listen to this, Steve, to give every adult in America a one-month prescription.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not making this up. And so we called in the DEA and said, what are you thinking? Because 80% of the people on heroin started with opioids,
right.
And it's a problem across America.
Sure.
And so they said, well, we'll take a look at it. Well, guess what? Pharma came in this year for the first time in 10 years plus, and they cut the allocation for opioids by 25%. So it reduces the flow of this drug. Now, let me tell you, people who have chronic and acute pain need pain relief.
But they can get it.
They can get it. And doctors have to be more vigilant. The Center for Disease Control came out with standards and said, stop writing these scripts over and over and over. It's an addiction. And so this is a step in the right direction.
Hydrocodone, oxymorphone, I believe is the pronunciation.
Yep.
Hydromorphone all being cut. Have less in the field. There's going to be less overdoses and less death.
Well, I think so. We hope so. But clearly there's more than is necessary for the to alleviate pain. And I'm glad DEA stepped up. It's the first time.
Did you see the vice presidential debate?
I did.
You've known Senator Kaine for a long time. Did he have too much sugar before the debate? He started out a little hot.
Well, the important thing to note, Steve, is that I am an absolute expert on political debates when I'm watching them on television. When I get on camera and in a debate,
it's a different game.
No telling what's happening.
It is a different game. So I mean, there's nerves, right?
He came on too hot.
Yeah.
And I noticed that, and Tim is a great fella and a good friend of mine. And I thought Governor Pence came off as steadier and calmer in the beginning and giving points. When it came to substance, I think Tim hit it out of the park again and again. But, you know, it's up to the public. I don't think it's going to change the presidential race one vote. But
he put Pence in a position. There's two things about Pence. One is he wouldn't have won a rerun, in my opinion, in Indiana. So you could certainly make
That's
the
right.
extended argument that if you can't win an election in Indiana to stay in the governor's chair, well, you're ready to be the president of the United States because you're one heartbeat away. But the other piece of it is, I was hoping one of them would step up for those who aren't as connected with the race and appear to be more presidential. I don't know if they did, but I know Tim Kaine put Pence in a position to defend Donald Trump, and Pence passed. Many times, because so many of Trump's positions are indefensible.
They're indefensible. And there were these little grace notes here. Here was Kaine kind of turned away from the camera, slightly talking off into space.
Yeah.
Here was Pence looking at the camera. Those little things make a difference in the impression on the audience
right.
as to your sincerity. If
right.
you're not looking, you know, at the camera.
TV is hard.
Yeah, it is very tough on it. That whole exchange about faith and politics, I know Tim, and I know it was a gutsy position running for governor of Virginia to say you oppose the death penalty. But he believes it morally, stood up for it, said I'll do what the law says I have to do, but this is where I stand. That's a tough position to take.
Andrea brought up a great point yesterday about the flow of guns from Indiana mm-hmm. into Illinois, and we were hoping that would have come up last
week. I was hoping as well. And when it got to the faith and politics thing, I kind of knew where the exchange was headed. It was going to go to the issue of abortion. You just knew it was going to
sure.
head there. And I was waiting, and I have to confess, I was bouncing back and forth to look at the American League wildcard game to see what the score was, so I might have missed a little bit. But I think there was an opportunity for a rejoinder by Kaine that was missed.
Yeah.
He certainly could have come back to Pence and said, okay, you question me when it comes on to pro-life issues. I question you when it comes to the Bible's clear message
yeah.
To take care of the least of them.
Sure.
You know, he had a comeback that I didn't hear. And anyway, as I said, I'm the best debater in the world when I'm watching on TV.
There you go. Couch debates.
Yeah, no, I agree. I wish they would have brought the gun issue to the forefront, especially because Trump enjoys hammering on Chicago. And for our gun crimes, well, many of those weapons do come from Indiana. That's a fact.
It's 40%.
Yeah.
When we did the background to figure out where in the heck in the deadliest sections of Chicago a few years ago, they came back and said 40% are coming over the border from gun shows where there's no background check. And I hope everybody, whether you love the Second Amendment or don't, agrees keep guns out of the hands of convicted felons. And that, unfortunately, is not being done in northern Indiana at some of these gun shows.
You know the folks that are running the Clinton campaign, I'm sure, because these are high-end folks that have been around the political circles for a long time. The direction of the campaign, you like it, you're not sure, where are you on that?
Well, it's the strangest campaign I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
I mean, go figure. Donald Trump running for president. You know, if someone had said that 2 years ago, you'd say, get out of here. That's
right.
Not going to happen. And Hillary Clinton is in a position where she is continuing the Clinton name, which for many people is a cause for great celebration. For others, they're pushing back against it. I mean, that's a reality.
Sure.
You also have the fact that isn't articulated very often. Here is a woman aspiring to the highest office of the land. And there are some people who will never say the words, but they aren't buying it. They can't swallow it. It's something that is...
Oh, there's definitely a latent sexism out there. There's no question about it.
So you've got that. That's an overlay that nobody would have guessed in this campaign. And this interesting thing, if you've ever heard of this book, Hillbilly Elegy, Vance wrote it.
Yep.
I just started reading it. Fascinating book. And it really kind of taps into what the heck's going on with white males particularly. Why are they leaving the Democrats in droves?
Right.
And, you know, I want to know the answer to that.
Well, there's a legitimate anger out there, right? I mean, there's an anger of people that feel disconnected from what you guys in Washington are doing or not doing for them, with them, and about this country. Having said that, Donald Trump, in my humble opinion, ain't the answer. So that's why turnout's going to be really important. And for people that think, oh, I'll skip this one or sit it out, you got to go vote.
Hillary Clinton came to the Quad Cities for Labor Day. And I said, what can I do for you? She said, go to Iowa. So I spent 2 days in Iowa this week. And I went to some sections where there are no Hillary signs. And it's Trump, Pence, and Hillary for prison signs. I mean, and
he's hardcore stuff. Yeah.
Hardcore stuff. And I got to step back and say, Iowa? Donald Trump? How does that fit?
Man,
I mean, how does Donald Trump embody the values of a Midwestern conservative Iowa voter? Some of it is pure party loyalty, and we have them on our side, just like the Republicans have.
Sure.
But there is something that's still drawing people to ignore some of the outrageous things he says about all these different groups and say, oh, that's Donald, but we need change. And if he brings change, then we're for it.
I would just ask people again, I know you got to run, but do you dislike Hillary more than you love this country?
I think that's what it comes down to. It comes down to some basics. And it also, I've said to Mike Flannery and some others here in town, as he said, you know, over in Beverly, I'm running in the neighbors who are voting for Trump. How do you explain it? And I said, I can't. And I struggle with it. But it comes down to the basics that have been asked. You know, how do you explain to your daughter a few years from now when she says, Dad, did you really vote for Donald Trump?
No, that was your mother.
Yeah. It's a little hard to explain when you put it in the context of this image that we're telling our children they should aspire to.
Well, and I'll leave you with this. The relatability of Trump in Iowa certainly goes to the fact that most Iowans have their own gold toilets fitted jets that they fly back and forth from Iowa to their penthouse. Unbelievable. And thank you for doing this.
Good to be here.
Nice to see you as always.